This morning, I'd like to invite you over to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1.
Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maids. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people and to worship you. And Lord, for the reminder that where two or three are gathered together in your name, as we have here this morning, that you are in our very midst. And so we thank you for your presence this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you bless your word, that you might be glorified, that we might hear from you, that you would strengthen the faith and the grace that you've given to us. And then, Lord, that you would convict those that may even be in our midst that do not have the assurance of eternal life. And, Lord, that you would build your church for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is The Cry of Wisdom. The Cry of Wisdom. And this is not just any kind of wisdom that we're talking about. And wisdom has the idea of meaning the love of knowledge or the truth. And we thank the Lord that we can do that concerning the Word of God. And that has an effect in your life and mine as we grow in the wisdom of God. The world has their wisdom. The world has their ideas, but God has His. Amen? And as we grow in the wisdom of God, that builds our relationship with the Lord. So concerning the faith and grace that God has given to you and I as believers, are you happy this morning? This is just a question for you to ask yourself. Are you happy with where you are at in your relationship with the Lord? Are you pleased where you're at? I'm in a good place in my relationship with the Lord. Well, that's one thought. But let me ask you this. Are you where God wants you? Are we where God wants us in our relationship with the Lord? That kind of puts a different angle on it. And God wants us to grow in the grace that He's given to us. And He's an infinite God. That's why we want to press toward the mark. It's not something that we get to, like I've mentioned in the past, like graduating the second grade and, okay, I've got all that knowledge, because we are prone to wander, and we need a vigilant, continual walk with the Lord to thrive in the salvation that God has given to us. So I want you to keep that thought in mind, and we'll share some truths concerning that. But the wisdom of God, I want you to be reminded, will always stand in the truth. That's important. Because some people think they're in the wisdom of God, and they have allowed other things that are not the truth, which would be deception, which would be a lie, and we can do that to ourselves. How can we do that? Well, I can remind you of various different individuals in the Scriptures that have taken the truth and for their convenience have twisted them a little bit. Abraham, for one. Oh, Sarah, she's my sister. And I want you to know that God was faithful even though Abraham was unfaithful at that particular time. I want you to know this morning that God is faithful even when we are not. Now, why do you say that to us, Brother George? Not so that we say, oh, well, if God's going to be faithful, even if I'm not faithful, then I don't have to be faithful. That is not the purpose of me telling you that truth. And the Holy Spirit would say and would cause your heart to see, I don't want to do that. I want to be faithful to the Lord because He has provided the means and way for me to trust Him and for me to walk in the truth. So the wisdom of God will always stand on the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. The wisdom of this world professes to seek truth while it stands in darkness and in deception. That's the truth. Why? Because that is the heart of the prince and power of the air, Satan himself, Lucifer, who is the prince and power of the air of this world. So the wisdom of this world, it will proclaim to seek the truth, but it stands in darkness and deception. And God has redeemed the believer from our sins and from this world as well, and has given to us, listen, not only his life, but his light. He's given you and I his life and his light to live and walk in him. So God has made that provision, and if that's not taking place, we just simply have to say, God, I want to yield to your will, and I want to experience your grace, your light, your life that you've given to me. So let me ask you this question this morning. Does the Lord want you and I as believers to experience his life and light? Okay, so that's important. So I am not supposed to walk according to what anybody is saying if it's outside of what God is saying. Is that not the truth? That's how I put faith in the Word of God. I'm not supposed to be walking the way that I feel, because sometimes, maybe you've experienced this, the way that I feel is not the way that God is, what God is saying. Have you ever been there? Sometimes I feel like I've been abandoned. Ever feel like that? Sometimes I might say, Lord, where are you? Well, the truth is, he's never let go of me. But I may not feel that way. So we are dealing with the old man and with the new man. Now the truth is that the old man's been crucified with Christ. The flesh has been crucified with Christ. And we have now the opportunity to walk or live. When you see that word walking in Christ, that means to live in him. To allow your life to be in his life and not to get caught up in ourselves. So this is something that is a continual conscientious decision. In other words, I want to continually understand that truth and walk in that truth. And even still with that, we can have circumstances and situations arise where we might forget that and lose the joy of the Lord. Not the happiness that the world has. It's a roller coaster ride that's contingent and based upon what happens, happiness, what happens or doesn't happen. So the world is happy when they have an event coming up, right? Whatever it might be, they might be happy and not even know the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is that we are a child of God by the grace of God, and that will never change, and that has forever changed our destination, our final destination. We have been given hope that the world has no knowledge of, and that is of eternal life. Now, I want to tell you some good news. You do not have to, and I do not have to, debate the lost world. You don't have to. In fact, you will never debate anybody into heaven. You know why? Because God is not working with them. Jesus said, unless the Father draws him, he can't come unto the Son. So what happens is, now I'm not saying that you don't pray for them, and I'm not saying that you don't try to witness to them, and that's not what the Lord is saying, but you don't have to argue with them or try to debate with them. Realize this truth, that God has to open up their understanding as he had ours. You know, up until I was 24 years old, I didn't have really a care in the world. I was young, I had good health, I had a good job, everything that you would want in the world, I was privileged. Not that I didn't have highs and lows in life, everybody does that, but you know what, I had goals and I was achieving those goals and things were happening and I was thinking, boy, you know, this is a good life. Now, I still had no idea, I knew I was going to die, but I didn't put that on my calendar anywhere. I knew one day in life I would leave this world, but and till this day, praise God, I don't have that on my calendar. But God knows the day and the hour, and I can trust him in that. But what happened was God stopped me dead in my tracks when I was 24 years old with the reality. Listen, God opened up my heart through his word and through somebody sharing Christ with me with the reality that I was condemned in my sins. For the first time, the emperor had no clothes and knew it. And I thought, I am undone, and I will not fare well when I stand before the Lord. May I tell you, everything that I thought was important went out the window. I was not even thinking, conscientious, or concerned at that moment about my earthly goals. None of that mattered. Now, I could not have brought myself there. I could not have brought myself there. God brought me to that place to where I saw that my sins had separated me from him, and that I needed him desperately. And I did not wait for the person who was trying to lead me to the Lord. I saw it and cried out to the Lord to save me. And that's basically all. That was my prayer. Jesus, save me. And he did. Now, I will tell you, everybody's experience is different. Don't think you have to have one like I did. Because we are all different, right? You don't treat all your kids the same way. They're different. Some respond easier. Some respond need a little more persuasion, right, to respond. We're different. And so God will approach you and I because he knows us better than we know ourselves, I think, differently. The same truth, the same gospel, but he approaches us differently and brings that assurance into our lives. This is important because we need to realize that God is the one that gives us understanding. And the Bible tells us that as we seek him, we will find him. So with that said, I want to look at three thoughts here concerning receiving the cry of wisdom. You can hear it here this morning, but to receive the cry of God's wisdom and to understand we need the Lord, we need to be careful that we don't just use our human intellect, but that we understand the relationship and how God works in your life and mine. So three truths, ready? There's a preparation. There's a lonely path of wisdom. Nobody can do it for you, and you cannot do it for anybody else. And then there is the proof of wisdom. There is a proof that we are experiencing the wisdom of God. So let's look at this first here, this preparation of this cry of wisdom that is needed in order for you and I to understand and enter into the wisdom that God has given to you and I. So I want to stop here just for a moment as well and remind you of this truth, and that is that Proverbs was written by King David's son, Solomon. And Solomon also had decisions to make. God blessed him with the Proverbs, and they were penned and included in the canon of Scripture. But as you understand the life of Solomon, he neglected God's direction. But God was still faithful to him. But when he came to the end of his life in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity without God, basically, without the Lord. So he experienced what he did not have to experience because he thought he would try it in the things of the world. And he did not believe in the Lord. But here's what I want you to understand. He praises God for his faithfulness even when he was unfaithful. But I promise you, at the end of life, he would say, I wish I would have never done any of that. I wish I would have gone trusting the Lord. And it's always the best for everybody that's involved here to go and trust the Lord. So let's look at this preparation. And by the way, look at these first five verses. And in fact, in the first two, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Well, why would God say that? Well, we find two basic needs in every human being that God knows about, and that is shelter is important. We need protection, and it's also good to be comfortable. There's nothing wrong with that. Shelter to keep us out of the elements is a good thing, but a heater in the winter is also an added blessing, is it not? A fireplace, some form of comfort that God gives us in the midst of that shelter. And so here we find shelter is important. And notice what else happens here in verse 2. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her what? Table. So shelter and food. Two very basic needs have been met by the Lord. And so he is likening this wisdom that he's talking about is a very fundamental, rudimental need that you and I as human beings have, especially as children of God, have in our own personal life and walk with the Lord. So notice what it says here in verse 3. This is her call or her cry. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. So we're not talking about a person because she is crying out in the highest places, plural, of the city. So she's in more than one place. Listen, God has said, if you will seek me, you will what? Are we sure about that? So he's crying out there today. Can God be found if we seek him? Absolutely. So he's wanting us to understand that there's a cry that's being made. And I want you to listen to this cry because it's going to be repeated again. So try to think about this in verse 4. Listen to this cry in verse 4. By the way, it also deals with the qualification. But listen to the cry. Whoso is simple, and we look at that and we say, well, I don't know that I want to be called simple. Well, that has to do with humility. It doesn't necessarily mean or imply that we're foolish or that we're dumb. Simple means the simplicity. How do you have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? With a childlike faith. It's simple. What does it mean? It means that I will trust the Lord even if I don't understand everything. Now, there's some intellectuals, really, there are some that are hard-hearted that say, unless I understand, I don't want any part of it. Well, let me ask you a question. How many things do you use on a daily basis that you really don't really understand? Do you understand everything that you need to, that there is to know about a vehicle? And yet you can stick the key in there, turn it on. You do need to know that you have to fill it up every now and then or get some kind of a way to fuel it, but you can operate it. And then at home, whether you use gas or electric, you don't know how all that works, possibly, but you can still use it. And the list goes on. There are things that a lot of people really understand and have a grasp on and are fascinated with, and I think that's okay. But needless to say, there are things that we don't really understand completely, and yet we can benefit from that. And so to make that kind of a statement is a fallacy. It's not true, because somewhere in life, people are using things and operating equipment or instruments that we don't fully understand, and yet we can benefit from those things as well. All right. So this is what he is saying. He says, verse 4, who is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. So listen to this cry. The cry is for the simple. The cry is to turn your direction and go in towards her direction, towards wisdom. And then also, for if you want understanding, if you want this understanding, it says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. So there is a participation that needs to take place. You can hear the cry. You can agree with the cry. You can say it's true. And yet you can never go and sit down at the table. And what do I mean by that? You can say, I believe in the Word of God. But is it read every day? And do we call upon the Lord and say, God, that you might open up my understanding? There are so many things that we get involved with that are completely unnecessary. Let me just give you one here. When my main occupation was in the secular realm, I did not want to hear everybody's drama. You know why? I could not help them. I might think I could help them, but listen. If they wanted help, they'll find it. Because if they're really looking for the truth, they will find it in the Lord. There are people, some people just want to share their drama so they can tell you what they did about it, and you can look at them and say, man, you're right. And they walk away saying, I know. Right? So I'm not saying that we should be rude. We could just sit there and be kind and listen and make sure that we're still doing our job and not respond. And soon enough, when they don't get the praise that they're looking for, they will leave you alone and go somewhere else because they really don't want your help. They just want to unload on you. And I want you to know that we may not be what we think we are. Hear me, listen, but we are becoming what we think. And if we begin to hear and listen and take that in, I promise you, tell me it's not true, you'll feel about this big when you walk out the doors from work. And you'll be of no value to your own personal family because you've just been weighted down with a load God never intended you and I to carry, and by the way, that they didn't want fixed anyway. So it would be better for me, and I'll tell you how to stop that. Tell them what God says about that problem. If they really want help, they'll be open to what God says about that problem. And if you don't know the answer, say, listen, I've got, my God has the answer. I don't have it today, but I'll come back with it tomorrow. They might tell you right there, save it. Or they might, or for sure, listen, if they listen, if they're cordially kind to you and they listen to it the next day, I promise you, if they don't want the things of God, they will probably never approach you again with another problem for you to help them with that they never wanted help with in the first place. I'm not saying that we go and make enemies. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if we're not careful, we are so loaded down with this world, we don't even realize that we're taking in that garbage that is not any good for us, and it doesn't bring us any closer to the Lord. So we need to be careful. He says here, the wisdom, the cry, the qualification is to have a humble walk and an approach to the Lord and to desire spiritual things. You know when you're being fed spiritual things and when you're not being fed spiritual things. And the things that are not spiritual, we should have very little to do with. Be kind, be spirit-led, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But be careful that God has not called you at your detriment to fix the world. You can't. God never intended to fix the world, but to save it. And the only way to be saved from the world is through salvation and a personal relationship with the Lord. So very quickly here, we find this qualification. And then he says, you need to feed. You need to feed on this wisdom. It's an action. How do you know, listen, how do you know if you're feeding on wisdom? That's a good thing to think about. How do you know if you're feeding on wisdom and you're being nourished by wisdom? Because you can hear things, it can go in one ear and out the other, and it have no effect on your life. And I just gave you the clue. If you're feeding on wisdom, it will have, the truth of God, it will have an effect on your life. If there's no effect of the wisdom of God in your life, you're not feeding. You may know about it. You may know it's there. You may know it's prepared. You may see it, but you may never enter into that house, and you may never sit at that table of the wisdom of God and participate and partake and experience and walk in the wisdom of God. There's a lot of believers, and I'm saying believers, that have trusted the Lord as their Savior because God is faithful, who are not faithfully entering into the house of God and sitting at the table and dining at what has been prepared. When Jesus died on the cross, it's all been prepared. It's all been given to you and I. So he says this here as we consider this. We want to understand that the second thought is it is a lonely path, this path of wisdom. Verse 6 says this. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. So he's saying, and by the way, that was, we're just answering right there. Those that really don't want the answer or the truth to their problems aren't looking for the answers. And so he says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. So that's what I'm saying. If you go to somebody, you will find out real quickly if they don't want the truth. They'll shut it off, and that's probably a good place to be. You can be kind and respectful, and you don't have to walk with that person in through life, and you don't need the garbage that they've entered into in your life to be contaminated or carried forth into your home. You don't need that. I'll never forget Dr. Adams, who just recently went home to be with the Lord. He was in his 90s. He taught my seminary class in his 60s. And listen, this man had a lot of wisdom. He told young preachers that weren't even pastors yet, and I was one. He said, do not ever bring marital counseling into your house. So my question was, why? I don't, you know, comfortable setting, over a cup of coffee, what have you. Why? He says, because you don't need to bring in that mess into your house, and it will affect your home, and it will spread on over to your wife, and if your kids are around, they'll hear that, and it will be just something that they don't need to be involved with. Meet in a neutral place. Don't bring that into your home. Meet at the church house or at a restaurant or somewhere else, but don't bring that into your home. The Word of God has a lot to say about what we bring into our homes, and I'll just mention this. Be careful about the internet in your home. Be careful about what you're listening to and what you're watching in your home, because that's ought to be your sanctuary. That ought to be the place of refuge, and that ought to be where God has his influence in your life and mine. It ought to be the place where we have an altar there, where we have the Word of God there, and we can seek the wisdom and counsel of God. So why is all this important? Hold your place right here in the book of Proverbs, and let me invite you to Matthew chapter 7 just for a few moments. And I want you to see a couple of things here that the Lord bears out to his disciples, by the way, which you are if you know the Lord as your Savior. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus is speaking, and he says this, and we love this. The lost world quotes this. Therefore, he says, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, they don't bring that out, but treat others as you would have them treat you. Jesus said that. He's the one with that wisdom. And by the way, we ought to treat others with the respect and with the gentleness and kindness, even if they don't know the Lord. May they see Christ, may they see the Spirit of Christ and the wisdom of God in us, and may that draw them. And by the way, if anything else, it exposes the truth, whether or not they even want that and hear that. So I've shared this with you. The fella that witnessed to me when I trusted the Lord, his first approach when he began to tell me about spiritual things, I didn't want to hear it. You know why I tell you that? Because it plagues me and it reveals to me my heart without God. I didn't want it. And I had no clue how much I needed the Lord. And God opened that up. But you know what? Listen, if we come to salvation, we'll never forget our resistance to the things of God. And that's important. Because that is the natural man without God. That's who I was without the Lord. The Lord, isn't that the world? The Lord has reached out with salvation, and the world stiff arms God. And so he says, you do this. And by the way, the world is quick to say that. And all you have to do is get on the highway with the world, and you'll see that they don't treat others as they would like to be treated. All right, I rest my case there, right? All right, 13. Other places as well, but you know what they are. Verse 13. He says this to his disciples, not to the world. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Do you believe that? Jesus said it. Do you believe that? All right. And then he tells us why. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's an amazing truth. He is telling this to the disciples. Is it possible for the disciple to be saved and be walking on the broad way down to destruction? Their physical life, not their soul, their physical life, because God is faithful to salvation and to us, even when we're unfaithful to him. So he says this, there's two paths. Isn't that what the Lord just said? There are two roads. There are two wisdoms. You can choose the world's wisdom or God's. They're different. That's what the Lord's saying here. Look at the effects. Listen, he lets us know what is happening to those who are not in the house and eating at the table of the wisdom of God. And he lets us know who is into the shelter. It's a fiction shelter, but the world has a shelter, and the world has set a table too that people feed at and can't get enough of and become addicted to, and it's through their own death and destruction. The world's wisdom brings death and destruction. Do we believe that this morning? All right. So he says this, he says, beware, verse 15, of false prophets which come into you, notice, come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Jesus is telling that to the disciples. We are not wise to not consider the wisdom and counsel of God. And they are coming to take our hearts away from the Lord, who is our life. So he says this, verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Interesting. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You can't get that. Won't happen. You can't gather grapes from thorns, and you can't get figs from thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Jesus was very careful to say, you're either one or the other. And then he says the consequences. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Is Jesus serious about this wisdom? Is Jesus serious about the truth? Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, he didn't say you need to judge them. He says you'll know. Why? So that you don't walk into that house and sit at that table and eat of that food that's being prepared, because it's there. Notice what he says here in verse 21. He's not changed his theme. He's allowing us to see the wolves and understand their demise. He says, not everyone, verse 21, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. There's a lot of religious people that say Jesus is their Lord. But if you'll look, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And don't let them mislead you away from the truth. Don't sit at their table. Be careful. There's coming a great falling away, the Word of God tells us. And I don't think we've seen it yet. And let's not just hear it and not hear it in our hearts and take it for the important truth that it is. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Don't be hearers only, but doers of the word of God. I hope and pray nobody in this room today will hear this truth and count it off and not worry about being a doer of the word of God and being a hearer only. So he says, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Is doing the will of the Father an important thing? Jesus just said it was. Now, the carnal individual, the one that is not walking or sitting at the table, and it's possible for a child of God to do that, but the one that has not entered into the house of God, the dwelling place of God, and at the let me just tell you where the house of God is, outside of the church of God. Let me just tell you where you go enter into the place that God has prepared. The Word of God. Let me just tell you where the food is at. The Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you're not sitting down at the table, if you're not entering into that place on a daily basis, you're on dangerous ground. Because the Bible tells us, if you find the biblical example, if you want the biblical pattern, if you want the wisdom of the world, three times a day is a good time to do it. In the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening is a good time to enter into that place and sit at the table of the wisdom of God that's been prepared for you and I. God has prepared it. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works in the name of Jesus. And he says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work, God called it, whatever they did, iniquity, sin. Because it was not God. Listen, there is a wisdom of this world that is fooling people. And calling upon the name of Jesus. I heard somebody today, you may have heard him too. I'm a Christian. Well, first of all, the Bible, you shouldn't praise your own. You shouldn't use your own lips to praise yourself. In the scriptures, in the book of Acts, it was the world that called them at Antioch Christians. You don't have to profess that. If you've got to label yourself, people can't see it. You don't have to label yourself. People, you don't have to tell them that. Do we go around flaunting all of our credentials? Why, people would just consider us to be braggarts. Listen, just let them see Christ, because if they can't see Christ, there's a problem. There's a problem. And it's not based upon what I am doing. It's based upon what God should be doing in and through our lives. And that ought to be a checking place for you and I to say, God, you're missing in my life. I need to seek you. Something needs to change. Or we're going to be the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. Okay, go back with me over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, and we're going to finish up here. So, it's a lonely path, and you'll be able to spot out the counterfeit. God says, can you get grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? It's a contradiction. I'm a Christian, and they cuss, and they are in the things that dishonor God. There's no gentleness, there's no kindness. Now, is it possible for a true believer to be wrapped up in that? Yeah, but they're on the wrong road. And they're at the wrong house. And they're at the wrong table. And yes, God is faithful, and even when we're unfaithful. But listen, may I tell you something? That ought to plague the believer. It ought to bother them. These people obviously weren't bothered when Jesus said, I never knew you. They had a double standard. You know what they really like? The praise of men. I hope that's not what we want. I hope that's not what we want. So, listen to the wisdom. 9:6 says this, forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot. Don't get involved with that. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase learning. You will know a true seeker of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy, listen, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. What does that mean? God gives me understanding of the truth. In other words, I am sitting at the table, and I am participating and I am being nourished by the food that God has provided. I'm experiencing the outcome of what God has promised. Now, I do want to share this with you. It is a battle to turn away from the natural realm, because that's what we see. It's easy for us to understand what we're in. But it does not negate, because we cannot see it, that God has, his promises are real. Everything that he has promised for you and I in heaven is real. That will be solidified when we see him face to face. But I want you to know something. God has some things, many things to reveal to you and I today and every day. So with that said, it's a lonely path. He's by himself here, or with those that desire to hear the truth and be corrected by the truth. And I want to remind you what Jesus said, that straight and narrow path, few are on it, and fewer yet find it. So don't expect there to be a lot of people on there. He says there's very few. If you're going with the crowd, chances are pretty good you're going the wrong way. And if you're not getting any resistance from the devil, you might be running with him. And that's a dangerous place to be. So he says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for who? Thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it, if you reject the truth. Now, I want to stop here just for a moment, and I want to share some truths with you. God reveals himself in the life of the believer all the day long. Now, we may not see it, but he's wanting to. So, God gave Abraham and Sarah a promise, a son. And they both came up with a brilliant idea that had nothing to do with the Lord. And they were so, and what were they using? Human reasoning. Oh, Hagar, that's the answer. That was a mess, because they took matters into their own hands. And by the way, they produced a child, didn't they? They produced it, not God. But what did God do? Because he knew the hardness of our heart. He waited till both Abraham and Sarah were dead. There was no possibility that they could produce a child. No possibility. And then God gave them Isaac. Oh, but we live in this empty faith, don't we? Is that what we live in? Anytime Abraham needed a reminder of the grace of God, he just needed to look at Isaac. Anytime he needed to see the mistake he made, he just needed to look at Ishmael. And so here's God doing a work. And they can look. Listen, he did it for Lot too. Lot was not, I don't believe he was faithful. But God, his wife looked back. to Sodom and Gomorrah, and God, all he needed to do, I'm sure that pillar was there probably the whole lifetime of Lot. And I don't think he really wanted to go back and look at that, but he knew it was there. He saw it. And by the way, listen. Listen how God works. When God was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, 430 years had passed. But when Joseph died, you know what he told them? This was the promise. God's going to lead you out of this place. He's going to take you out. Take my bones with you. What do you think the Israelites saw and thought when they were taking Joseph's bones out? Just like God said it. Now, wait a minute. Listen. They had experienced, the world saw 10 plagues, but so did God's children. And they all happened exactly the way God said it. So all their troubles were over. Israel had complete faith after they got out of Egypt, right? No, they came to the Red Sea. And the comment was, because their sarcasm was, because there were no graves in Egypt, you brought us out in the wilderness to die. What did they do? They forgot. What were they doing? They were leaning on the natural realm. Let's not be too hard on them. We're just as hard-hearted and stiff-necked. But it's a lesson God has given to, God has included this in the scriptures to give us more truth that we would have more faith. And so here they are, out in this wilderness. And what happens? They start crying out to Moses. And Moses, by faith, says, hey, fear not, you're not going to see them anymore. God gave them that. God gave Moses that truth, and God gave them the example. They could have went back to the 10 plagues. God saw us through every bit of that. And so, listen, the world forgot it too. Because Pharaoh said, what have I done? We're going to go kill these Israelites. They're stuck. They've been entrapped by the wilderness and closed up by the sea. Wait a minute. Didn't God just do the miraculous 10 times in Egypt? Made things happen that couldn't have been made? And what happened was they could not see that God could have parted. And by the way, we can't see everything either. The only thing we need to do is just trust that we're in the hands of God. And be like the three Israelite children in Babylon. Whether it's through the fire or out of the fire, God will deliver us out of your hands, Nebuchadnezzar. You and I have been delivered from this old sinful world and have been translated into the kingdom of God. Amen. What are we living for? Have we bitten into what the world has taken? Listen, right here in Proverbs chapter 9, I want you to see the wisdom of the world. And listen to what's happening here. Ready? Verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Listen, this is the same cry. This is the world's wisdom. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. She's also out there. The wisdom of this world is out there in places. To call passengers who go right on their ways. Same cry, listen. What you saw in verse 4, for God's wisdom. Listen to what the world says in verse 16. Whoso is simple, my goodness, let him turn in hither. Look at verse 4. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. It's a different thing though. It's parallels until you get to what she says. Because what the world is saying and what God is saying are diametrically opposite. They're not going in the same way. What she says to him, verse 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That means deception. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Don't buy in when people are trying to lead you into deception, because then you become partaker with them. When God has redeemed us, don't be led down the path. This word, this cry for wisdom is to God's people and to all those that God opens up their understanding. And so God wants us to take this serious. It affects us, and it also affects the influence that God has given to us on the whole world. Listen, beginning with our families. God wants His light to shine in our lives first, not to the world, but to our families, and then our church that He's placed us in for His honor and glory, and then to the world. You know, it's a bad place to be to know it, see it, and walk on by and ignore it. Those who ignore it will stand before God in for the disappointment and shock of their lives. Disappointment if they're a child of God. Shock to hear the Lord said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Do you think that might be a sad day? That will never be forgotten. But for those of us, God is saying, "I have prepared everything that is needed, and it's found in me, not in you." So stop using the excuse about how you feel or how you think, because our salvation and our sanctification has absolutely nothing to do with us, but everything to do with God. If you're looking to yourself, you will never walk by faith, because you and I are limited. We either look to the promises of God, or we will be grounded. Saved child of God, no power. That's not what God's intent was. God wants us to be His light and His salt. We can never do that apart from God. Abraham would have never been anything without God. Joseph would have never been anything without God. And the list goes on. Daniel, the three Hebrew children, Job, and the list goes on. Moses, they'd all be the first ones to tell you, if it wasn't but for the grace of God completely, nothing would glorify the Lord. The same is true in your life and mine. And God has given us His word to seek Him. To seek Him. Do you believe what you've seen today? Don't go by how you feel or what you see others doing. The others that you see doing that don't do what you think they should be doing, they didn't die for you. But your Jesus did, to empower our lives. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your mercy and Your grace and Your truth and the cry of Your wisdom, who's prepared a place and a table that we might sit at it and participate in it and enjoy it and experience it. May You be honored and glorified in the invitation, and we'll give You the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.